Yo! Hello, welcome to another episode of An Everyday Goddess. What surprise it's raining on the northeast coast of America. You know, I heard something the other day. It was with Marianne Williamson. She was doing a podcast with Oprah, and it was in regards to The Course of Miracles, which she read in 1978, and funny enough, that was the first time I actually started working within the same book, although she went on to become a teacher of it, and it is an amazing, it's very extensive study, A Course in Miracles, but in it, she was talking to Oprah, and she said, it's so funny, people will say, you know, oh my God, the sky is so gray today. And the truth is, the sky isn't gray, and the sky really isn't blue. The sky is a reflection of what they say blue, and the particles of light are reflecting or different spectrums. But for this particular instance, the sky is blue, and gray clouds at this moment are in front of me, and my perception is of the gray cloud first and the blue sky behind it. The editor of our story, that wonderful little personality called ego that we very much need, and I always mention that we need, but it definitely can make us even more confused than we already are. You know, I wrote an article the other day, and I hope it gets published, and it was in regards to crystals, and I believe in everything. I really, truly believe that everything that is here on this earth has an absolute divine purpose, and very much like a Taoist, everything has a soul. However, I am from the Lower East Side, and I am the daughter of, you know, what would be called a mob guy, although I called him Dad, and he was definitely interesting. He had a multitude of dynamics that played out. He was a Pandora's box when it came to a parent. But anyway, you know, I am not big on these long, drawn-out rituals, and that is partly because my life never allowed, or I didn't have that kind of time to really, I guess, get involved in the rituals. And I'm sure they're fabulous, but hey, it's something that escaped me. What didn't escape me was the ability to see how things can layer in and be useful together and can be applicable in our lives at this moment and multitask. So for me, I work with crystals that I really feel multitask. Like I love raw emerald for a boy or a girl, don't matter to me. And raw emerald is a great stone. So is an emerald. Hey, if you want to go to Tiffany's or Cartier, we already know how this goddess feels about little blue boxes. But emerald itself is an amazing, they call it the stone of love, and it is of successful love because it actually invokes in within us unconditional self-love first, and then from that we are able to attract the same kind of love that we have for ourselves, and that's the love we want. And it's so cool because you can have these energies vibrating from outside you that will help align what's inside you. However, we do have the editor, and I am always amazed that I can share some gifts and practical tools with clients, and what comes out of my mouth and what they perceive and what they hear can be two totally different things. And I've had the use of emerald be everything but unconditional love. But again, that's our editor. And that's a little bit about what I want to talk about today. In the article, I was writing about what crystals to use for breakups. And we are in the summer, right? So, I don't know, cuddling season is over, I guess. And if you are a millennium, you are single and you hook up during the winter so you can cuddle and stay warm. And in the summer, you're out being promiscuous, I guess. I don't know. That is something, again, that is perplexing to me. But anyway, breakups are just about everything that our ego is perceived it's losing. And I find that it's really amazing because with social media today, we are really become emotional relationship hoarders. And that includes friendships, work relationships, partnerships in love. It is amazing to me because social media has allowed us to reconnect with people from the past. So we reconnect these old emotional relationships that have been playing in our head through our editor's story. And we now connect with people throughout time and space. And you really have to do a cleaning of the emotional closet because God knows how many skeletons or relationships you're hoarding in your social media. So for me, I tend to keep selenite on me and next to my computer because I feel like it really is a fabulous stone, crystal, that really helps negate negative energy and bring clarity. You know, and that is the thing that I saw about emerald as well. You know, unconditional self-love is the love that you want to attract. You want to be unconditional, so you are unconditional with yourself. And it said that, you know, at one point, you know, Jesus turned around and said, look, I really think these Ten Commandments are awesome that have been passed down. But from Ten Commandments, you all made 2,000 rules. And I don't think it's about the 2,000 rules. I think it's about love. And it's love God and then love your neighbor as you would love yourself. The Course in Miracles bases everything on love, and Marianne Williamson's first book was Return to Love. So it's funny because I have given emerald to people and they've yelled at me and said, I went out last night and I was, you know, rocking it out at the Soho House and I didn't meet anybody. And I was like, well, and say you would. I wore emerald earrings, an emerald ring, and an emerald necklace. And Bianca, I'm telling you, nothing happened. I'm like, well, maybe you need to put a little sapphire in there for a little wisdom and a little revelation. Because it really is that you're not attracting anything, not because of the stone, but what the stone is helping you resonate in. And that is the clarity of how you perceive yourself and what you want to attract. And at that moment, what you were seeking to attract was probably not around you. And probably because it's really wasn't good for you. So I use crystals in a multitasking way because they really do more than one thing. And when you bring them together, like in an alchemy, they become a prescription. So I will keep a cluster of crystals together for certain things. And for me, my go-to crystals in any relationships, from ending work relationships, from frenemies to the Hillary Clinton bully in the office, to the Me Too boss, to the, you know, single white female best friend that you have now. And, you know, we tend to forget that those relationships are also part of a perception that our ego has created. So sometimes what we're perceiving as being a single white female, that other person doesn't even know that that is, she's a character or he's a character in your story. And that's even more crazy, right? Because now I'm sure you're all sitting here going, what? Yeah, my friends, I don't know how to tell you this, but a lot of times these things that we perceive as challenges have really been built up in our head, and we ourselves are becoming the antagonist and creating that relationship ourselves. So I had mentioned the other day in a live Facebook video about atonement and accountability and forgiveness. Truthfully, we have to be accountable for every action we have. We all at some point have done crazy, stupid things, and maybe we weren't aware of a conversation we were having, or maybe we were distracted, and that's why we should be mindful of what we're doing in every present moment, and we gave off a wrong signal to somebody. And now that signal is taking life in that person's story. And neither one of you are even involved in the story. That's why the Four Agreements says don't take anything personal, because you don't know what movie is playing in anyone's head at any given time. I do find, though, that working with crystals in a very, you know, basic way, right? And I don't do the rituals and create the grids. I wear my crystals. You know, I have, you know, asmonite on my neck most all the time, every day. And it's a great crystal for cleansing the body. It helps, you know, clear away negative energy that's really coming from me, They call it the Stone of Hope. It's great for self-awareness, great for confidence. And from that, it became the Stone of Hope because it supposedly helps manifest dreams. Well, if it's helping your energy resonate and vibrate higher so you feel confident, I'm thinking that you're confident to manifest your dreams. It seems kind of simple to me.
I don't know.
I also tend to use a lot of crystals that a lot of people don't use. And I think that's partly because I do see them as multitaskers. So even something like sapphire, I love raw sapphire. It's a great stone that helps clear confusion. It allows guidance. Hello, it clears confusion. So if you aren't confused about what you're thinking, you're probably more open to receiving guidance and direction from somebody. So some of it is kind of like basic. It's like really in front of you. But it's the ego in us, that editor, that wants to twist and turn it and kind of make it fit for the story that we created, that soap opera that's playing. So I also feel that working with crystals, picking up and holding them, is part of that 10-second breath that helps distract the ego. You know, just like a yoga pose, I always say I'm asking you to stand on one leg and move your hands in front of you, your right leg behind you, root to rise. And you're going, what the F is this girl talking about? She's got me moving in all these directions on one leg. And all through that distraction and confusion and chaos that your ego's trying to work through, your spirit gets to kind of come in and merge. And that's where you start to find order and then emotional stability. So I do feel like sometimes when we do take a second to pick up a crystal and hold it and really connect to the smoothness of it or the roughness or look at the colors, look at its clarity for that 10 second. If that is a ritual, then great. I'm giving you a 10 second ritual to kind of just gaze at it for a moment. And that energy will vibrate through you. And if it really is just that 10-second break and a breath, then so be it. As far as I'm concerned, that crystal did what it was supposed to do. How do you like that? I can make it that simple. I really, truly believe that we are living a guided, moving meditation, and we are truly the only reason that it's complicated, that it really is simple. And it is taking that moment sometimes to step back out. I joke around about the emotional hoarding of relationships through social media, but it's true. We even have created emotional relationships through text messages. I've worked with clients and they've gotten millions. I'm sitting there and I'm like, I can't believe you have that many friends, that many people are texting you while we're sitting here. And it's really just one or two words and it's these quick little tapping connections, but yet everyone is invested in it. But there's no reality to it because the person's not in front of you. And if I was that person that was texting you and you're working with me and you're really distracted from the text and you're just sending back a KK, and now I heard KK means something bad and it doesn't mean okay anymore because we trend, we evolve, communication shifts, then when you see that person, chances are your communications are already screwed up because you weren't even paying attention and they probably weren't either. So we have these relationships that we are invested in that are truly based in this energy that is strictly emotional. We pick up and we connect to people that we know will either calm us through or pacify us through a challenge or give us the opportunity to be impulsive and reactive. I laugh at some of these commercials. There's a commercial for, I think, Optimum, where the girl is throwing all the guy's furniture out the window. And then after she's done breaking his guitar and throwing out the cable box, she sits down to watch Wi-Fi TV and she takes a deep breath and she's calm. I don't know how that's a beneficial commercial. I really don't see that as a beneficial strategy. You just made it okay to destroy somebody's stuff on an impulse because you are angry. And chances are once you calm down, you're going to feel really bad about it. And even if the other person did do something really bad, one bad action doesn't make a good action if you keep on that gerbil wheel and that you're each reactive. Because chances are after you do something, even though you think you're still fueled with anger, you know you have somewhere inside of you remorse. But that's what happens. Then we'll pick up the phone and we'll text our friend, and that friend will want us to feel better. So they'll pacify and say, no, you are 100% right for doing that. You are 100% right for throwing everything out the window. I would have done the same thing. And both of you got to be sitting there and going, I don't believe any of that. Because then when it happens to you, because karma correction will make that happen to you so you could be accountable and know what that feels like, you're going to go, damn, why me? And you're going to say, why me? Because chances are you forgot that you even had done it because you did it in a repulsed or an impulsive action. So it does. I kind of laugh at commercials, you know, because I'm like, wow, you wonder why where school shooters are happening. You're showing people fighting, like the Huntington School one. I'm not getting into school. I've tried everything. Huntington School. Well, that's just great. How about sitting down and having a normal conversation and maybe getting to the root of it instead of passing it off to a tutor somewhere? Might get a great score on the SAT, but I wonder if the real root is going to come out or if it's just being pacified. You know, what I'm asking, and when I do work with everyone, even in these dialogues that I give, even about these practical tools, something as crystals, I'm giving you why I give you these crystals, why I use them as practical tools. And I'm hoping that you read it, hear it, and see it, and maybe there's words in there that you connect to. Like, oh, wow, you know what? You're right. If I could stop the chaos and the confusion for a moment and the emotional story in my head, because I'm really just connected to an outcome, right? I'm already invested in the end result, not in the journey. So I'm not sure if I'm even putting in the work that I need to get there, which makes me feel random. And then that imposter syndrome comes up and everyone's like, I don't feel worthy because I'm not even sure how I got here. Yikes. You know, I'm hoping that maybe you connect to it and say, oh, wow, you hope. Oh, wait, confidence. You're right. Confidence can manifest my dream. Confidence in myself, self-love. Loving myself enough and being confident and filled with self-esteem to manifest my dream. Got it. See? There's tricks. You know, and I call them spiritual hacks. Some, I say I'm a spiritualist lifestyle strategist. I am a spiritualist for mainstream life, lean, mean, ohm machine. I'm just trying to give you really quick insights and tools and tips that will help you connect and become aware. So maybe when you do read something, you read it and not just skim over and look for the words that you could connect to that validate the story in your head. You know, and if it takes, like I said, that 10 seconds to hold a crystal and feel it and connect to its color like citrine. I love citrine. Citrine's all over my house. First of all, it's yellow and clear. It looks like sunshine. It's just a happy stone. It's even just happy to look at. You know, the color yellow makes you happy. We know that already, you know, but citrine, it actually helps cleanse the stones around it. It's known as a stone of abundance, you know, like why? No, you know, it helps with confidence. Look at that. Confidence, again, connected to abundance. I tell you, all of it's just linked together, right? But you could see if you take that moment and just breathe into it. And if you say in your head, I know this stone is going to help me feel better and confident and abundant, then that energy gives you what we call the as if. And I don't call it fake it till you make it. I say faith it till you make it. F-A-I-T-H. And the as if has been around a very long time. And it says, if you live in your body as if, then those as ifs are what you will attract. And that makes total sense because you will raise your vibration up. And from raising your vibration up, you will connect to other higher vibrations, creating a stronger bandwidth, just like Wi-Fi. And there you go. You got power behind it. The as if started with smiling. And I think it was 1868, and I forget the psychologist who came up with it, sorry, but it was about smiling. And the doctor said, if you smile enough, right, you start to trick the brain into thinking it's happy, because the smile, the way the muscles move in the face, begin to release endorphins and stimulate. And then all of a sudden you go from as if to actually being happy. So it makes sense that if you live as if I unconditionally love myself, I trust and have faith and confidence, I am filled with self-esteem, I love God, I know there's a supreme being, I know there's an energy out there, we call it Source, Creator, Mother, Father, Divine, and truthfully, I mean, think about it, the sun is our source of light. And it helps create. So we know that there's these invisible rays and energy that help us. And we fill ourselves with that. Then we are overflowing. And that energy then that we share with others is detached. Which means we have no strings attached to it. Which means there's no emotional relationship. Which means I'm a friend because I want to be a friend. Not because I want to be your friend because you hang out with the cool kids, and if I hang out with you, then maybe I could be with them. Oh no, I want to be in your network because you are, you know, doing X, Y, and Z, and if I'm with you guys, then maybe I'll get to do that too. Now, there is a little as if there, but you also have to have some transparency and accountability, you know. I'm not friends with people because I want something from them. I'm friends with people because we are symbiotic and we're in sync and we have this relationship that's infinite, that is constant giving and receiving, an altruistic reality, you know, and it is balanced, and it's not balanced on material things, although material things can flow through and from us. You know, it's being transparent and accountable and knowing, you know, atoning too. I mentioned that in the video, you know, when we do go into relationships and we're not 100% transparent about why we're in that relationship, then we shouldn't be surprised when those relationships fall apart because we weren't forthright or being honest, right? We weren't being transparent to why we're in that relationship. And I use the word honesty here, but that can change because people have been involved in relationships and maybe started off in the relationship for one reason and all of a sudden it merges and grows into something else. But you got to be honest then to what brought you there in the first place. And that's, you know, the whole thing, what I talk about, these emotional relationships, because there's not much more invested in them other than emotions. I want to be angry, so I am going to go find me, you know, a pity party. Misery loves company, you know. I want to be pacified. I'm sad, so I'm going to go find my friends that, you know, are going to help me, you know, and say, oh, it's okay. Don't worry about it. It's all good. Don't worry. He'll buy new clothes. You'll get a new TV, even though you threw everything out the window. Not doing much good for us. I truly believe that is partly what's happening with our children. And if you look about, we constantly seeing about these shooters. Yeah, great. You want to say gun reform? Okay, great. Gun reform. But what made that kid pick up the gun in the first place? Okay. It was easy and accessible. Okay. But why did he want to do it in the first place? What was happening? What wasn't being heard? You know? I work often in a lot of different relationships, and I see energies that are just nothing but gray. There's a whole world of gray going on. It's a fog. And you can barely see the light tower, you know, the lighthouse light going because of the fog. And it's easy to hit that iceberg, right? Because there's so much more under the surface than just the 1% of the iceberg that we're seeing. So if some of these tips and tools are that 10 second, then hell, go for it. I personally believe that there are energies that vibrate in colors and stones. I do believe in the crystals. I do believe in herbalism. I do believe in Reiki and acupuncture and chi. I do. I am a big proponent of the invisible, obviously. I'm sitting here on a podcast invisibly talking to people about an invisible source called God and being able to connect to that energy here in this lifetime now. So the next lifetime can be fabulous. So the next moments can be fabulous. That you can keep having a human experience and make that human experience one that is absolutely extraordinary. So, like I said, I meditate, but I'm like a 20-minute girl, 40 at the most. That's about it for me. Sometimes you'll get an hour if I'm sitting in a chapel, St. Gregory's, because that's what the chapel's for. There's no mass. You just sit there and you pray and you meditate for an hour. No talking, just kind of sitting and being. For me, I'm a mover. So I'm walking outside. I'm hiking. And in those moments, I might be doing a live video or I might be in the middle of prayer and waiting for that still silent voice to kind of come up. And I don't really necessarily believe that it takes hours for that to happen. I believe it takes mindfulness. I believe it takes awareness. I believe that it takes those moments to sit in an uncomfortable energy and really be accountable for your own actions and a tone and be transparent. And, sometimes the shit's going to hit the fan and maybe that outcome isn't going to be the way you wanted it to be. But if you're not investing in the emotional outcome and you're staying mindfully aware in the journey, then you know that it's possible to have alternate realities and a multitude of outcomes. And that even the ones that seem uncomfortable, you can have that opportunity to grow from them and bless them. And that's truthfully what the Course in Miracles asks you to do, is to bless everybody with love. Even the people that you feel did you wrong. I'm not saying that we aren't done wrong. I'm not saying that there are things that happen out of the blue. God is not a puppeteer. We do have karmic correction from past lifetimes. We do have soul contracts that we come in with and contracts from past lifetimes. So there's a lot that plays into what's happening in any moment. But when you can sit in it and just look at it and say, okay, this was pretty shitty, but I'm still going to bless it with love. I'm still going to send that person off with love. Ho'opono'ono, ono. I love you, thank you, heal you, forgive you. I love myself, heal myself, forgive myself, thank myself. I always talk to, about my dad. I loved him, but the truth was he was a tough guy. He didn't become a made man just from standing around, selling newspapers on a street corner in New York. He was a tough dad, but he was a loving dad at the same time. And for every beating I caught, I caught great lessons as well. My love for the sea, my love of animals, my understanding of crystals. He's the first person who taught me this, and it was about jewelry. This jewelry store he had was Bianca Jewelers, but, he was a Pandora's box for sure. But, I look at those energies and I can sit there and really make myself crazy and miserable about my childhood. Or I could say, wow, you know what? Some of those beatings are definitely deserved. Oh my God. And others, okay, maybe not. Maybe I should have just been quiet that day. But I think about the things that he taught me and how brilliant he was and how that energy is in me. And there's this balance of light and dark within all of us. There's a stone called Merlinite, and the stone is about black and white, light and dark. And it's about finding that balance. So in our mindful awareness, it's not always about beating ourselves up. The atonement isn't about, taking the crystal you're holding and hitting yourself on top of the head with it. The atonement is also very much, seeing your actions and saying, I'm just not going to do that again. That wasn't beneficial for anyone. Throwing the cable box out the window, wasn't beneficial because now I have to pay for it. So I hope this helps you. The stones I talked about, raw emerald, love them, love it, Google it. I love regular emeralds, all about them, sapphire, raw sapphire. I'm a big, big fan of citrine. Merlinite, I wouldn't play with if you haven't used stones at all, but it is a great stone to help connect to the energy of being balanced and seeing that mindful awareness and accountability are beneficial strategies, and that if you could take 10 seconds and breathe, you'll realize that you do have the confidence, the self-esteem, and the connection to your divinity to manifest everything and anything you want, whether you hold a stone or not. Have a great day, everybody. Namaste.